God maketh a way where there seemeth to be no way. He does that in physical, natural things, and does it for individuals' soul and life. Amen. The world will try to destroy you. One of the greatest things of its weapons is depression. Will try to depress you. That means that keeps your spirit down. Thinking you have no hope or no one cares or nothing's going to change, or et cetera, et cetera. But I'm here to tell you, as well as many as you already know, if not all of you know, is that nothing can keep you down. And the reason why is nothing kept Jesus down. I said nothing kept him down. Nothing kept him down. You can beat him up to a bloody pulp and he's going to still climb up on that hill and lay down his life for all of mankind. You can lock him behind a stone in a grave. Nothing's going to keep him down. He's going to come out of it. Nothing can hold Jesus. Nothing can hold you down. Nothing can hold you down. Nothing can keep you a prisoner. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And if you let the light shine in your heart and your soul, God maketh a way. Always there seems to be no way. I want to share something with you this morning. Amen. And I pray that it's able to minister to you. We're going to read several scriptures. We're going to read from the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Likewise also, we're going to read from James 2, 25. Matthew 1, 5 through 6. Several scriptures. Amen. So we get some transparencies up there or overhead. Okay. And Joshua the son of Nun sent him two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they have come to search out all of the country. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Here's a secret. If you just believe in the midst of those that don't believe, there's hope for you. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Let's go to James 2, 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Interesting question. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. And Solomon begat Boaz of Rishab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. It's amazing. Because when you look at the scripture, Ruth was the father of Jesse. The mother. And Jesse was the father of King David. In the second chapter of the book of Joshua, introduces us to a woman named Rahab, a harlot, period, exclamation point. That's who she was. And it tells this noteworthy story of her courageous acts in the saving of lives of Joshua's spies, and in turn, saving of her whole household. Her name appears in the parade of conquerors in Hebrews chapter 11. Then James again refers to this unusual individual called Rahab, the harlot. There is one more important reference to her as well, as we read in Matthew, lists her in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, it's amazing you're sitting here in this congregation from all different paths, backgrounds, sins, and you are in the lineage of the body of Christ. Amazing, isn't it? Once there was no hope, but here you sit with hope. Once you were lost, but now you sit here this morning being found. Amen? Amen? In Joshua 3 out of 5 verses containing her name also contains the word harlot. In Hebrews, the phrase is the harlot Rahab. In Hebrews, the phrase is the harlot Rahab. And in James, it is Rahab the harlot. And it seems as though the scriptures emphasizes her occupation. The Bible could have just said her name, cited her exceptional situation once, and then not added the word harlot over and over and over again. For instance, David. David's name is mentioned over 1,000 times in the King James text. Only once is he referred to as the psalmist in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 11. Yet each of these references to Rahab includes additional description of a harlot. It makes me wonder what the book of God may be trying to tell you and me about Rahab, about God, and about ourselves. As such, this one wicked woman changed the history of Israel. This one wicked woman found her place of prominence in the Word of God that we're reading this morning, and in the lineage, the line of Jesus Christ, our Savior. This one wicked woman has a story to tell all of us, and maybe to you that's sitting here this morning. This one wicked woman reaches much further than just her biographical statements found in the scriptures. The city was Jericho. The point in Israel's timeline was this: 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. It was finally time to cross over the Jordan River and take possession of the land that God had promised them. Two Amorites, they were kings east of the Jordan River, had have been defeated in participation of the battle to come. Joshua sent two spies into the city of Jericho to investigate and report back on what might be required to attack the city. The two men whose names are not given in the scripture may not have been the most experienced spies. How do you know that, Pastor? Because they were seen in the city, identified in the city. They were followed as they came through the gate of the city. And obviously, these two spies were followed to the house of Rahab. In fact, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And they went and came into the harlot's house." Perhaps they realized they were made. They were found out. And so they dunked into the first little house or doorway that opened them an opportunity to hide. It just happened to be, it seems, to be in Rahab's brothel. And perhaps she was indeed, maybe as some think, an innkeeper. But you and I know that the Bible called her a harlot. And perhaps this was her place of business. This is where she conducted her illicitness. We just know that these two spies just happened to go into that house. We know the king of that particular city and area sent an order to Rahab. He said to Rahab, "Bring out the men lodging there. Bring them out so we can arrest them." Rahab had another idea. This is where the story gets interesting, and I want to share with you this morning. Somewhere in her brief interaction with these two spies, she realized that while they may be spies, they also had a key to her future. I hope if you're sitting here this morning in this congregation, or that you're watching by streaming, I hope you realize that attending your attention toward Jesus Christ, that you realize that it can be a key to your future. Amen. Not just another church, perhaps not just another service. Perhaps you stumbled in to streaming this morning to watch the service at Community Life Center. Perhaps you didn't want to really get up and come to church this morning, but somehow you stumbled around and got ready, and you find yourself sitting in this congregation. I want you to know this morning, perhaps it's not an accident that you're streaming this morning. It's not an accident that you're sitting here depressed this morning. It's not an accident that you happen to stumble in the church this morning. God seemingly has a way that's mysterious to us and makes a way where there seemeth to be no way. The story of Israelites escape from Egypt and march across the Red Sea, leaving behind a trail of drowned Egyptian soldiers. Captains and chariots all have been told and retold the story. It has spread not only in that part of the country, but as they crossed over Jordan, also spread among the countries and the people there. Did you hear about this people, Israelites? Did you hear about the church down there on the corner of the hospital? Did you hear about what's going on there? Did you realize that Israel conquered all of the enemies and they're heading our way? Do you realize that church is not just a normal church. Did you realize that church there at 825 North Harrison Street, there's strange things that are happening there. They're actually getting healed in their body and healed in their spirit and healed in their soul. Oh, somebody, would you worship the Lord with me this morning? Strange as it may be, the word gets out and the word spreads throughout the city. Rahab knew that as Israel conquered, they destroyed. As they came to conquer Jericho, death of its inhabitants was more likely going to happen. You see, when you come to church, it's not just to come to get a blessing. Whether you be a child of God or whether you not be a child of God. Oftentimes in church services, it's a place where we come to die. We die out to flesh. Die out to this past week. Die out to our lives to Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness on that one this morning? Church is a happy place. But it's a dying place as well. It's a killing field. Spiritually, that is. You die out to self and give room to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You die out to yourself, die out to fear, die out to shame. Come on. Die out to the things that hinder your life. Die out to habits that try to grab a hold of you. And you die out. The reason why is you make room for the Spirit of God to come in and take up residency and push out everything else that comes along in your life. Knowing she was risking death also by the order of the king of the land. But willing nevertheless, instead, she made the decision to bargain with those two spies. Rahab made a decision like someone, or more than someone, needs to make here this morning. She would have an opportunity to do something. She would have a scarlet thread, a cord, if you please, in the window of her house that was hanging on the wall of the city. She was a wicked woman. The two spies were men of integrity. She was a woman of Jericho, a wicked and sinful city as it was. They were men of Israel, servants of the Most High God. Someone says, what's your church there for? It's there as an example of a God who's a living God. And we come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Life gets complicated sometimes. Situations get complicated sometimes. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you do your best to do all the things that are right. Sometimes you may be born in the church from the standpoint you got parents that are coming to church. You're sort of like you're born in the palace. Moses was raised in the palace. Moses had all the wonderful things that you can imagine. He had a youth group. He had good music. He had opportunity of going to youth congress. He even attended a fantastic youth rally. Then it seemed like God had more for him than a palace. And so Moses found himself. And sometimes life gets complicated and you find yourself in unusual or strange circumstances. And so you can't figure out why you're there. Why are you going through depression? Why are you going through sickness in your body? Why are you going through this problem and that condition? Moses found himself after running away after he had killed an Egyptian. And it seemed like his own people kind of turned against him. And he ran away. He ran out. And then he found another tribe of people that he attached himself to. It's a strange thing how that sometimes we seem to float away from church and attach ourselves to other things. Yeah. And sometimes we'll ask a question, Moses, why did you go through all of that? Moses, why did you have to go through all of that? You had a good life in the palace? I got thinking about that. Sometimes people have a good life in the church and then they leave the church. Or things draw them out of the church. Or you can sit in the church and be despondent because it doesn't seem like God's doing much for you or working much out in your life. But then I seem to understand something that become obvious to me. Sometimes God will take us through things, get us to a place where we have no hope or trust except in God. Yeah, amen. 40 years it was. 40 years he was on the backside of Medan. 40 years of herding sheep when once he lived in the palace. 40 years of walking among sheep dung when he used to walk on petals of flowers and what was praised of being a prince of Egypt. And then he's walking along one day and he sees a bush that's on fire. Now, more than likely, he had seen something like that before. But this time, it was a little bit unusual. And the Bible tells us that he turned aside. And when he turned aside, there was a voice that came from that burning bush. It said, Moses, Moses. I want to tell somebody this morning, I don't care where you find yourself, but if you sense the presence of God, you need to turn aside. Because God is not going to work out your problem or your situation until you want to know Him. It was when Moses turned aside that God spoke His name twice. And then when He spoke His name twice, He said, take off your shoes, Moses. You're standing on some holy ground. What makes it holy is the presence of God. That's when the power of God begins to move in a church service. It's not because you're there. It's because Jesus is there. It's because the Holy Ghost is there. You may be all down and forlorn and don't feel like nothing's going on, nothing has happened. But let me tell you something. I found out another truth here as well. Amen. You're going through your sickness. You're going through your problem. You're going through your depression. You're going through all kinds of junk and situations, etc. But I'm going to tell you what. It was Moses. 40 years of going through all of that junk. And then God says, now, you've been through this and you've been through that. Yeah, you got down where it seemed like you're abased. But now, because you've turned aside. Let me tell you something. If you're not willing to turn aside to be interested in God, God's not going to call your name. If you're not interested in following Jesus, He's not going to use you in your life. When He came, why did He do it? Because Moses, being born in the palace, spoke the palace language. Moses knew the rituals. He knew the doors to go in and go out of in the palace. He lived there. Because you're going through what you're going through, because you've been facing what you've been facing, God says, now it's time to go back to Egypt, go back to that palace, because you know how to base yourself. Now you know that I make of the way where there seemeth to be no way. Now you have the experience. You see, when you are who you are, and you know the Israelites like Moses knew them, and yet he knew the Egyptians like he knew the Egyptians, sometimes you're kind of in between. The Israelites won't listen to you because you're living in the Egyptian palace. And the Egyptians won't listen to you because you know the Israelites. You're in the church, but maybe not of the church. You go to church and you know the world. And the world doesn't trust you because you know you go to church. And the church don't know you because you smell like the world. And so there you are. Egyptians don't like you, and the Israelites don't trust you. Mm-hmm. But hang on. I said, hang on. Yeah, hang on. Because Moses was the only one that God could use to speak Pharaoh's language. That's why you heard this morning. That's what I said this morning. Others said this morning. You cannot affect the world unless you're in the world. You're not of the world, but you're in the world. Why are you in the world? Because you know the language of the world. You know the habits of the world. You know the condition of the world. But you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind and of your spirit through the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the infinite power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So now God can use you to go back into the world. You see, a mother who is the only mother raising the child because there's no father around is able to speak to another mother who is raising a child by herself. A man or a woman who has been there in that condition, who was a drunkard, can only speak to a drunkard. A drug addict who's been transformed by the power of God can go back in and speak to a drug addict. Knows what they've been through. Know the hallucinations. Know the pull, the power they can have over your life. Come on, somebody. Life gets complicated sometimes. But I'm telling someone that by the Holy Ghost, you need to trust God to where you're at right now and say, God, whatever you do, use my life for your purpose, for your kingdom's sake. Come on, let's raise our hands and love the Lord together right now. Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. Destiny. Brought Rahab the harlot and the two spies together. unanswered question is, why did God do that? It's like, well, God, why did you allow Moses? And the thing he went through and all the things he encountered in his life, why did you allow that to happen? You could have stopped that. But Moses would never have had the experience of 40 years of leading sheep or going through what he'd gone through. He would not have been able to go back and lead Israel. Come on, somebody. Come on. Why am I going through what I'm going through? Because God needs your experience to go back and lead somebody else. Why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? I can tell you, somebody had open heart surgery. I understand what somebody's going through open heart surgery. If you hadn't had a heart attack lately, let me show you some things. One day you're on your feet doing good, the whole world, blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, bam. Rahab did not have a Bible. Rahab did not have scripture or scroll at her disposal. She was not raised around Israelite campfires, hearing the stories of the exploits of Jehovah. There was no priest, no tabernacle, no ark of the covenant in her life. There was no place where she had the knowledge, only a desire. Only a desire. What causes a sinner to become a saint? A desire to change your life. To change your direction. To change your purpose. She had only heard of Jehovah in the stories told by unbelievers. What's going to change the city of Warsaw? It's what they hear from you. You ought to have been in that service Sunday morning. God healed a woman. God opened up a blinded eye. Somebody come forward, get prayed for. You ought to have been there with us. I've never been to a Pentecostal church before. I've never experienced it, but I've heard some things. I've heard some things that go on there. It's been said people go up and down Harrison Street and will tell other people, don't you go to that church. Some strange things happen there. Like they shout, they run the aisle, they dance. No more strange than you, dummies that go to a football game and yell over a pigskin. No more than you that out there spend the big money to go to sports events. Hundreds of dollars? And you still give a dollar in the offering? Shame on you. You already give at least $2. There's no reference in the scriptures to Rahab hearing the voice of God. There's no account of anyone sharing the word of the Lord with her. She had no special teacher who knew the ways of Jehovah. But I tell you what she had. And Jesus dealt with that. She had hunger and desire for Jehovah God was burning in her heart. And she heard the second hand and third and fourth hand testimonies of what God had done and was doing among the Israelites. Somebody in this city needs to hear the first, second, third, and fourth testimony. I said, you ought to see the power of God that changed that old drunkard's life. Y'all be shouting, Justin. You're sitting there looking at me like a toad. You see, we forget where God brought us from. We forget what God's done in our lives. Well, I don't have a special Bible teacher. Well, shame on you. I don't have somebody to teach me. I wasn't born in the right family. I didn't get a spiritual silver spoon put in my mouth. Well, I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry, darling. Neither did I. But I heard something, I felt something, and I turned aside, went to an altar of repentance, and God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wasn't raised in this. No one taught me this. But I had a desire for a change that come into my life and my spirit. And I turned aside and God called my name. Oh, let's worship Him again. Let's worship Him. Somebody get a hold of this morning. Somebody get a hold of this morning. Somebody said, oh, they went out of church. Why'd they go out of church? Because they had no desire to stay in the kingdom. Nothing new. Nothing new from the beginning of the Word of God, clear through. Nothing new about that. You keep staying on the edge of the kingdom of God, you will eventually fall off. You eventually will go out. How do you know that? Because the Apostle Paul had the same thing he had to deal with. He said, demons have forsaken me for the love of this present world. Come on, church. If there's no desire to walk with God, God, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why I'm facing this. I don't know why. I don't know why. But you keep the desire to live for God anyway. It's like my brother-in-law said, who died of colon cancer. And I heard it with my own ears as the doctor came in and said, I'm taking myself off of this case. I'm no longer your doctor. And when that doctor left the room, David stood up and said, one thing I do know, that God is my healer. Even if you die, you still declare, God is my healer. He's my way maker. He maketh the way. You may have a scarlet thread. Oh, you harlot, you no good for nothing, harlot. But she had a desire in her heart to see her life changed, to see the direction that she was going in changed. Unspoken was what she really desired. That He who was God in heaven and in earth would be her God as well. Her plea to them was to save her life. What she didn't say was that she was depending on them to help save her soul. Through the foolishness of preaching, you're saved. Let me tell you what happens with that is that you've got to respond to the preaching of the word. You've got to have a desire to say, I want more than what I have. This morning you may have a Bible. In fact, you probably have more than one in your home. You may have attended church since childhood or be a new visitor to this congregation this morning. You may have personally experienced the signs and wonders and miracles, or you may have only heard the third and the fourth testimony of what God is capable of doing. However, whether you are a sinner or a saint, the question this morning is the same. How long has it been since your heart has melted in the presence of God? something in Rahab's cry when she heard the stories. Maybe it was, I want that God. I want that God. As Brother Folk so ably taught here a couple of Wednesday nights ago, I want some of that. He showed some pictures that was so beautiful, of looked like a 42-ounce steak. I literally was craving steak. The next we hear of Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus. What about you? They were a good saint. They're going to stand one day around the throne in heaven. God shook me up one day when I was at the altar whining and crying to Him. This was years ago. And He gave me a vision of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It changed something inside of me. There's people who's been martyred, who's willing to give up their life rather than deny Jesus Christ. Those who've suffered. But God, in His strange, mysterious ways. You see, God and Joshua sent two spies in the city of Jericho because God saw faith in the heart of a harlot named Rahab. God is preaching this message this morning because He sees, no matter what and how dark the day may be, He sees faith in your heart. It didn't matter what she had been, or even who she was at the moment. God didn't care where He found you, what garbage and junk was in your life, the sins that you were living in. It didn't matter to God. I remember going to the Methodist church as a young boy, sitting in the Sunday school class as a small boy, and have a hunger for God. We lived in a oil pumper shack that belonged to the company. And across the road, literally across the road, was this little Methodist church. Mom and Dad didn't go, but I would get up and I'd go. I remember they had a revival as I was a teenager. And the preacher that was preaching that revival, I could not tell his name. And when he got done, I went down to the altar and I prayed. You're here this morning because God saw your heart. I don't care what your background, what your denomination. The reason why God had brought you here, because there was a desire in your heart. And He saw Rahab's heart. Just as I am. Just as you are this morning, going through your problem, going through your difficulty, just as you are this morning, God sees your heart. The bloodline of Jesus. I'm closing with this, basically, with 2 Peter 3 and 9. not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Powerful, isn't it? May I have the next slide, maybe the one towards the last. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Young person, Jesus died for you. Middle-aged person, God's blood covers you. If you've been baptized in his name. Older saint, you've walked this length of time because of his blood and of his grace. And thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict and many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Poor, wretched, blind, sight, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, and cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Maybe it's your attitude you've been dealing with. I feel the Spirit of God is saying to some, I'm here. Would you turn aside? Cannot promise you tomorrow, but I can promise you that today, if you call upon his name, he will come to you. Let's stand together, shall we? Just as I am. Just as I am. Just as I am. I don't care what people call you. Don't care what they think about you. I don't care. God doesn't care. What's important is the desire in your heart to live for Jesus more than anything else in this world. Come unto him, ye who are weary and heavy laden. Some of you this morning may be wrestling within your own mind and your spirit. Maybe you think God doesn't care about you. It doesn't matter what people think about you. It's what God thinks about you. Amen. Rahab the harlot. Isn't it amazing? Joshua sends two spies. It was God that inspired him to reach you. And there's a decision that Rahab had to make. Do I listen to the king? Do I listen to this world who has threatened me? Or do I listen to my heart? My suggestion is you listen to your heart. The desire for God to change. Things that's going on in your life. Things that seem so hard. Would you bow your head this morning? Would you do that? Lord, life gets complicated. And sometimes we don't know if we fit in the church or out of the church. And sometimes when we walk outside into the church and the world, we realize we don't fit into the world either. I pray, God, your Spirit that you've sent into the world will lead and guide their hearts back towards you. That you will make a way where there seemeth to be no way. That you should put life where death seems to be crowding in, and you bring forth life, and that more abundantly. I pray hearts surrender to you this morning. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. We have today. And I pray this morning that there's hearts that will surrender to you and say, God, I give all myself to thee.